Please welcome Carlos Wayne Anderson.
Reminded us that forgiveness is an ongoing process. I sometimes find myself believing or thinking that I have forgiven everyone in my life who has ever done anything. And if I tell the truth about it, there are a couple of people that I realize I haven't forgiven. I get to a place of really thinking I've forgiven them. And then time goes by and someone mentions their name. And I feel something, and it lets me know that that work isn't done. In the last couple of months, I've identified a couple of people, and one for something that he did, a man for something that he did when I was a child. There were several people when I was a child who did things to me, and I realized that this one guy, there's still a little something in there. And there's another guy who did something when I was an adult, when I was 27. And mind you, I'm 67. So 40 years ago, there's still something there. And I make up in my mind that the reason why there's still something there is not just because of what they did, but because they were holier than thou kind of people. They were always looking and condemning other people. And they were hiding behind that mask of righteousness and godliness. Both of them are dead. I will never have an opportunity to speak my truth to either of them. They're on the other side. I will speak to them on the other side, but they're not available for me to get my hands on. So the work is mine to do. And we have all heard that when you do not forgive someone, you have yourself shackled to that person. And you're dragging them through your life, and it's not fun. We've all heard that our freedom depends upon setting others free. And so it's still work that I am doing with these two people. When Jesus first began his ministry after his time in the desert, he entered into the temple and was invited to read out of the holy book. And the thing that he said that struck me, a line out of that book, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to set at liberty those who are bound." When I was a child, I thought that to set at liberty those who were bound were people who were physically bound, people who were incarcerated, people who were locked in a negative relationship, people who were bound by their bitterness or their hatred. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I read that scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, Carlos." I'm not whoever wrote the scripture, not Jesus who read it on that day, but me, Carlos, that when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I am anointed to set at liberty those who I have bound. The two people that I spoke about, if I gave you the story, many of you might say, well, that's a very good reason for holding someone. Yeah, that would be a hard one. I used to think that it was true that there are some things that are unforgivable. And at the time that these two occurrences occurred, I remember thinking, it was my mantra, this is unforgivable. I've come to know that nothing is unforgivable. And I've come to know that it is no fun dragging people around, wondering why you're not running and why you're not flying, because you are anchored to this person. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to set at liberty those who are bound. This is the cost of my freedom. I can't be free till I free these people. And all the work that I've done, I think I've told you, I believe that forgiveness is my life work because of the things that happened to me when I was a child. I was told as a child, this is your work to forgive them. It is your anointing to forgive them. This is going to be one of the things you have come to master, the art of forgiveness. So I've given it so much time, and I can give it more time. And I can bring to it more willingness to set at liberty those who I have bound, regardless of how good the story is. Forgiveness is something we all want, and forgiveness for many of us is something that's very difficult to give. And I believe that it's pointless for me to ask the universe to forgive me for all of my shortcomings without hearing the universe say, I'll set you free when you set them free. Because it's your setting them free that closes up the windows of heaven and cuts off the blessings that are available for you to receive. One of my favorite stories in the scriptures is the story of the prodigal son who left his father's house, got his inheritance, and said, I believe I can make it on my own. Just give me my money. I'm going to go out into the world. I believe I can make it on my own. I did that when I was 21, living in Amherst, Massachusetts. I told mom and dad I'm going to New York to be an actor. They didn't advise that I should do that. Well, finish your bachelor's degree first and then go. No, you won't be stuck in education. I'm not getting no degrees. I'm taking whatever I want, and nothing is going to get me to take the core requirements so that I can get a bachelor's degree so that y'all can chain me here in Massachusetts in one of these colleges. I'm going to New York. Just give me my money and say bye-bye. Well, I didn't get as bad as the guy in the story. I messed up a lot, and I had to call them the same two people that I told I'm grown now. Say, can you rescue me? Could you help me out? Would it hurt your heart to know that I slept 4 nights in a movie theater because I lost my place? And so this guy, he goes out, he wastes his money on riotous living, the scripture called. And I would apply that to me. Riotous living. It's before New York City got cleaned up. I came to New York City and I said, oh my God, I thought Sodom and Gomorrah was just some old town. My Lord have mercy. And I got into the riotous living. This guy got so bad as a Jewish young man. He started taking care of a guy's pigs. Jews are not supposed to go near pigs. It's a real no-no. Not only was he taking care of the pigs and slopping the pigs, but he got to a point where he actually envied the pigs because they had slop to eat. And he was tempted for a moment to eat their slop. He knew that he had reached rock bottom. Some of us will never bounce up until we reach rock bottom. The scripture says, one day he came to himself. So when we're out doing riotous living, when we're wasting our life force, when we're wasting our energy, we're not ourselves. We have forgotten who we are. We're suffering from a case of mistaken identification. We are carrying false papers. So he said, he came to himself and said, I will arise and return to my father. It's such a beautiful story, and many of you might remember the importance when he was going home to his father. He thought that he was going home and might be punished. I've lost my sonship for sure. Maybe dad will just let me be a servant, be a slave, anything, just so that I'm in a house and have food to eat. and have shelter, and I'm not out there alone. But it says that as he started home, his father saw him from afar off. It makes me think that Dad is just standing at the window looking out. From the time that cat left home until the time he came back, Daddy wouldn't leave that window, waiting for his son. Blesses my heart to know that the divine feels that way about me. Some of you can remember, I don't know we were at the Subud at the time or whether we had moved into Symphony Space. My mind seems to remember that we were in the Subud, but there was a story that went international, and it was a true story. It was a father who was estranged from his son. It was in New York City. They had been estranged for quite a while, and the father was trying to deal without his son. And the son was trying to deal without the father. So in this case, many of you might recall, a father puts an ad in the newspapers in New York. And the ad said, "Julio, meet me on Sunday at 11 o'clock at the main entrance to Central Park. All is forgiven. Dad." The reason why the story got international acclaim was that on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the main entrance to Central Park, 248 young men of all ages, including men in their middle ages, showed up in response to that ad. All of their names were Julio. They all hoped and prayed that it was their dad. "Julio, meet me on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the main entrance to Central Park. All is forgiven. Dad." Everybody wants forgiveness. If there are 200 and some Julios out there wishing their father would contact them and just say all is forgiven, there must be so many others with other names hoping Dad will call and say all is forgiven. That's the story of the prodigal child. And so all of these Julios with the countless others are all prodigal children who have wandered away from the love of our Creator God, Father, Mother, Spirit of all that is. And we want to go home. And the quickest way to get home is through forgiveness. So I said before, I used to think there were some things that were unforgivable. But many years ago, probably at least 14 years ago, I was at a Course in Miracles conference, and I was the keynote speaker in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they were going to be having some testimonials from people. And I can remember that I was on fire that morning on the platform, and it was called A Course in Miracles, of course, so I remember telling the people, yes, there was a series of books, three books, called A Course in Miracles. But this is what I have come to know. I am a course in miracles. I am a course in miracles. I, who am a course in miracles, study A Course in Miracles and teach it. But don't get it twisted. I have never forgotten that I am that course. And this world is my classroom. And forgiveness is my entire curriculum. It's what I've come to major. And so I'm on fire, and afterwards I get swamped by people, and there was a woman and her husband. I don't remember their names, but I'm gonna call her Joanne because that popped into my brain just now. Joanne went ballistic about my presentation. And she started telling me what I said, the energy with which I said it, and what it did to her. And she said, "I feel with life, that I am saved over and over again, that I am rescued from the shadow over and over again. And I want you to know, Reverend Carlos, you rescued me over and over in that hour and 20 minutes that you were on platform. And I thanked her, appreciate it. Thank you so much. In the afternoon after lunch, they announced that there would be people giving testimonials. And the first person to give a testimonial was Joanne. She got up on that stage. She said, a number of years ago, I was at a conference. I live in Manhattan. I was at a conference in Atlanta. On the lunch break of the conference, my husband and I got into our car and went to find a nice place for lunch. At some point, we stopped at a red light. And as we stopped, someone ran quickly to our car. We heard a bump. And the next thing we know, a young black man had gotten into the back seat and had a .38 up against my head. This is a dignified white couple. They're in Atlanta. And a young black man jumps into their back seat and puts a .38 up against their head. They would say, take our money, take our money, take our money. I'm not here for money. I'm here to kill you. And at some point, when they got to the next light, he told them to keep driving. When they got to the next light, he had the gun against her head. Her husband tried to push his arm, and the kid shot her in the head. God is so mind-blowing to me sometimes. As it turned out, the angle of the barrel of this .38 was angled at such a degree that the bullet went under her scalp, creased her skull all the way around, and came out of the skin of her forehead. So she did not die by the grace of God. Later, the young man was incarcerated, and she and her husband flew back to Atlanta to begin this legal process. They assured her that this guy, who happened to be 15 years old and had shot her because that was the cost of getting into a gang and having a family, that they were going to try him as an adult. And he told her and her husband, don't worry. Nobody will be fighting in his behalf. He'll be assigned a lawyer who will do pretty much nothing but see to it that this guy gets incarcerated, hopefully for the rest of his life. He thought that Joanne would be happy to hear that, but she was horrified. She said, he's 15. He did that to get into a gang. And now you're going to try him as an adult, and you're going to make sure that he gets put away? Yes. She and her husband had a deep conversation about this, and the result of it was she knew she could not live with herself if she did that. She felt that the reason why the bullet did not go into her skull and into her brain and into her life was that she had something important to do. And she realized that what was important for her was to advocate for this young man. She did everything she could to make sure that he was not going to be charged as an adult, but as a juvenile. And then she hired him a lawyer. Her and her husband, pretty well off, but not rich by any means. It was not just an overflow of money that they used to hire this lawyer. It was money set aside for their retirement. She withdrew a bunch of that. She hired him the best lawyer that she could think of. And when someone mentioned that if he should get down to only do 2 or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, what was he gonna do when he gets out? He has no family. And that was why he shot you in the first place, to have a family. And she said, we will take him in. As she continued, she advocated so well that he only did 3 years. And when he got out, she took him in. And before his 21st birthday, she and her husband adopted him and gave him the family that he had not had. I'm a blubbering mess. I'm thinking, this woman just told me before lunch that something I said on a platform had rescued her. And all I'm thinking is, who rescued who? I rescued a couple of dogs, you all. I got them out of kennels. They were small dogs, little dogs. They needed love. They needed a home. I'm going to rescue them. Within a couple of months, I was looking at them going, who rescued who? They opened my heart chakra so much that words cannot explain. And it has remained open. And it opens ever wider. When the dogs want to sleep with Sienna, I'm wishing they had chosen me. When they want to sleep with Timothy or Karen, I'm wishing they had chosen me. I used to look at people in grocery stores and I would see them with an $18 chain leash, an $18 collar, a bag of dog food for $22, bleed powder for $6.95, and then one chicken for them. And I would go, people sure are crazy. That's who I am now. The dogs, the gardens, renovating my home inside, and then I go buy a $6.99 chicken, rotisseried and already made, at Stop and Shop, and I will eat that bird for $4 for 4 days. $6 for 4 days of my meat and my protein. There is nothing that is unforgivable. And that woman who claimed I rescued her, I never know what I've said unless someone sends me a DVD or unless Timothy insists that I watch something that he's filmed. So I don't know what I did or how I moved her, but it could not have been in the same neighborhood as her testimony. They showed a picture of him and the family. He looked so bright and beautiful. Never been in any trouble. Got into a community college, did really well, shifted to a university, and is doing very well there at the time of her telling her story. I just would like to remind us that whatever it takes, it's worth it. Whatever the amount of time, whatever the process. Of Course in Miracles says that we don't have to go through a long process to forgive. We make up that we need, you know, a few more years of therapy, and I think I'll finally let my mom off the hook. A few more years of working on my inner child. A few more year-long workbook lessons in A Course in Miracles, and I might be able to forgive that man for leaving me with my best friend. A Course in Miracles says, it's a decision. It's a decision we make. But we need a valid reason, a good reason to make such a decision. And I think, remembering that it is the cost of my freedom, is a good reason for me to keep doing the work. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Be merciful, and the heavens will rain down mercy on you. It's the law. Everything's energy. Whatever energy we put out gets multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and returned right back to the one who extended it out for the multiplication and return to take place. The workshop will be called Shadowboxing because in truth there is nobody out there doing the work of incarcerating me. People can victimize me, but they can't make me a victim. I'm the one who says that. I'm the one who declares that. I'm the one claiming my identity. It's not what they do. It's what I do with what they do. It's what I do with what they do. I don't think I would have done what Joanne did. I would have been so stuck on what he did. It would have been my good reason as a middle-aged white woman to never, ever feel safe around a young black man again. It would have been my decision, my choice most likely, to sit there and listen to them say, no one will advocate, he's being tried as an adult, and we're gonna make sure he gets locked up. My response on moments of my life would have been good. The world was a safer place. But that woman, Joanne, she rescued me that day. She gave me an incentive to do my own work, which is less traumatic than her work, less intense than her work. And I left that workshop going, if she did it, so can I. So I will not continue to live more of my life with these two people handcuffed to me for something one of them did 40 years ago and the other one did 30 years ago. I don't want to drag them around. I was born to fly. I was born to release and let go, and let the Spirit have its wonderful way in my life as my life.
Yes.
I invite each and every one of you to join me in the holy enterprise of identifying who it is that you may think has done the thing that is unforgivable, and to speak the truth that there is nothing that is unforgivable, and then to be willing to do the work of letting go. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and has anointed you to set at liberty those whom you have bound. Forgiving someone doesn't mean you have to keep living in the same house with them. It doesn't mean you have to go to movies with them or have tea with them. Or hug them. It means you just stop damning them. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. Julia, meet me on Sunday at 11 o'clock on 95th and Broadway in Symphony Space. All is forgiven. Yeah.
You are holy. I am holy.
We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy.
Forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. The light of the world brings peace to every mind through my forgiveness. I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation. And I am limitless in power and in peace. I am the light of the world. Forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. The light of the world brings peace to every mind. Through my forgiveness, I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and I am limitless in power limit to my power or my peace. I am a Course in Miracles. I am as God created me. I am a Course in Miracles. I have made it through so much and more there is to make it through. I have grown so much and still more there is to grow. I have risen so much and still there is the more to rise. Speak, Holy Spirit, and I will listen. Lead, Holy Spirit, and I will follow. I was dead, and now I live again. Thank you. Amen.